This week is Parashas Mishpatim. Parashas Mishpatim is the seventh parasha of Chumash Shemos, and it is the concluding parasha of Shoivavim. Even though this year is a leap year, and some have the custom of Shoivavim Tat, Truma Tetzaveh, but at least the section of Shoivavim comes to a conclusion on Parashas Mishpatim. There are seven parashas for Eile, Mishpatim is the mem of Shoivavim, and therefore by some people it's the very beginning to the Kasim, a Sim on a Tekuf of 7 weeks when you work on excelling in the Midah of Kedusha. Kedusha Shabbos also is unique in that it's Shabbos Bevorachim Chodesh Adar. This year we have a double Adar, but nevertheless, it's a double Adar is really to one degree like a 60-day Adar. Two Adars, so we're coming now to the last month of the year. Again, it's going to be 12 and 13, but it's really part of a set of the end of the year. What makes Chodesh Adar and Shabbos Bevorachim Chodesh Adar unique is because generally we have two different holidays that we focus on the celebration of time. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos is the end, is the Gemar. We come to the end of the week. There are 6 days, at the end of the week we come to Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh is always the first. Now when you compare first and last, Shabbos versus Rosh Chodesh, each one has milos and chesronos. The milo of Shabbos is its last. Everything that's been done until this point in time is all a preparation for the conclusion of the week, the finale. The chesaron of Shabbos is, not the chesaron, but relative, well, you can't control it. It's not in your control. It's kiviyah v'kayme. Every 7 days is Shabbos, whether you like it or not, and there's nothing you can do to change the date of Shabbos. So the maila is, it's the end, it's the gemar, which in Chazal's eyes is a maila. Everything until this point in time is all a preparation for the climax when we come to the gemar. But the what's lacking in Shabbos is it's kviyah v'kayme. It's not given to Klal Yisrael to their control or jurisdiction. Rosh Chodesh is just the opposite. Rosh Chodesh is the koyach of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. It has the maila that it's a gift to Klal Yisrael, it's their domain, it's their reshus. You can control exactly when Rosh Chodesh will fall out. If you want it to be on Sunday or Sunday, Monday, you can manipulate the day. But on the other hand, Rosh Chodesh has the chesaron, so to speak, it's not a chesaron, but it's a relative to Shabbos, it's the beginning. It's the beginning. If it's the beginning, you don't know what you're doing. When you're holding at the beginning of a process, you have no preparation. When you just thrust into, you're sent into a new field, into a new world, and you don't have any experience, it's very difficult. So Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos are two complete opposites. Shabbos is the end, but it's not under our control. Rosh Chodesh is the beginning, but is under our control, but it's the beginning. It doesn't have the mile of coming at the end. There's one exception, and that is Rosh Chodesh Adar. And especially when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's not this year, but at least this year, at least when it's Shabbos Mevorachim, on the Shabbos, then you focus on the Mevorach Chodesh Adar. Adar is the last month. So even though Rosh Chodesh itself is the first of the month, but in being that there are 12 Chodashim, and we're coming now down to the last Chodesh, so you bring into this Rosh Chodesh the milus of both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Because now it's Chodesh, which is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, but also has the mila of it being the last. Because Adar is the 12th month of the year, it's the Gemara of the year, which is the Mile of Shabbos. Shabbos comes at the very end. And when we take Shabbos and we introduce into Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or at least the best that we can do this year, is Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Adar, we're combining the Koychos of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh together, which has only Milas. And that is something unique to focus on Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Adar. Okay, now let's go to some short ideas for this parasha. We have here the parasha of Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri comes, is sold, a person is sold as a slave to his master. After 6 years, he has an opportunity to leave, and he says to his master, "I don't want to leave. Ohavti es adoni es ishi v'esponai. I don't want to leave." So the Torah goes on to tell us exactly what needs to be done. He's taken to the door, and the Bezdin takes out an awl, and they bore a hole in his ear, and they say to him, "Now you want to be a slave? Good, you'll be a slave for 50 years until Yovel, you're going to be a slave." Rashi elaborates, what is the significance of taking the slave to the door and boring a hole through his ear into the door? So Rashi gives us two interpretations. Number one, he says, the door, the mezuzah, was a witness, the deles and the mezuzah was a witness at the time of Klal Yisrael of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Upasachti al haPesach. I passed over the door. Let me just read the words of the Rashi. Umara oizen le heirotza mikol shor evam. First, the Gemara first Rashi focuses why the ear. Why do we make a hole in the ear and not a hole in any other part of the body? Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai oizen zosh shama al har Sinai loy tignoif. This ear which heard on har Sinai you should not steal. For holach v'gonav nistol tiratza should be bored with a hole. It is a punishment to the ear. The ear heard Hashem say loy tignoif, and this fellow went, he stole money, and by stealing he had to be sold as a slave, and now he has an opportunity to leave and he chooses not to do so. Therefore the ear has to be punished. Or if he was not, did not steal, but just he just sold himself as a slave for it anyway. Also, he has done an avera. He heard in Harsina kili b'neishal avodim v'holach v'kona odon liatzmo te tirtza. Period. Then we have another interpretation. Rabbi Shimon Hayudayish mikra zeh kimin choymer as a pearl. What do we mean? And the pearl over here is ma nishtanu delas u'mezuzah. What about the door and the mezuzah? Mikol kelim shebayis. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu delas u'mezuzah shehayu edim b'Mitzrayim kishapasachti al hamashkeif v'yashtei hamezuzos. They were witnesses when I passed over the threshold and the mezuzos. So yamarti kili b'nei shel avodim v'avodim avodim avodaihem v'loy avodim la'avodim v'holach zev v'kon adon liatzmo yirotza b'fneihem. So we have Rashi giving us two different explanations of why we focus on the ear, why we focus on the door. Both of them are witnesses. So Kadosh Baruch Hu selling us, telling Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. I want to say a little bit of a Jewish to explain the significance of why we have to have both parts of Rashi. What happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim was not the end. When Hashem recruited Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, Moshe says, what's the purpose of this Yitzias Mitzrayim? What's going to come afterwards? Hashem made it very clear, B'yotziyacha es om in Mitzrayim, Tavdunes elokim al hor hazeh. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not the end. It's just the beginning of the process which will culminate in Matan Torah. So, and indeed, there's a 50-day period, and we commemorate this every single year with Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer, in one dimension, is the connection, is the chibur between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. No one should make a mistake and think that independence is valuable for in its own right. There's no value in pure independence unless the independence is geared, is focused on Kabbalah HaTorah and observing Torah. So it comes out over here, we have two different parts to the slave. We have the ear to this process, the ear and the door. The ear represents Matan Torah, what took place 50 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Deles and the Mezuzah represent the actual Yitzia of Mitzrayim. There was no Kabbalah Satorah at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Deles and the Mashkef and the Mezuzah were Edim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over Klal Yisrael at the time of of Makas Bechoros and killed the firstborns and said, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. So we have two different, and what are we doing to a Nirtza? So we're taking the ear, which was a the ear, which was a witness, which was a witness at the time of Matan Torah, and we're connecting it to the door that was a witness at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're connecting those two together, and we're taking an awl, and we're boring them to bring those two things together, to make one whole together. In other words, what are we telling this slave? We're telling him the reason why you are in this situation where you have an opportunity to go free and you fail to go free is because you failed to learn the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was not just to be a free man. It was to be a free man to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you don't appreciate the purpose of freedom, then it will come a point in time when you will abandon your freedom. You'll be willing to give yourself over as a slave to a master for no reason at all. It's a message that when we appreciate the fact that we are free people, it has to be with an understanding that the purpose of freedom is Tavdun es Elokim ala Hor Hazeh. Freedom for its own purpose will result in nothing. You'll be a free man today, and then tomorrow you'll realize maybe communism is not so bad. Maybe socialism is not so bad. Everyone will redistribute the wealth. Everyone will be a slave to the country. What's the big deal of having independence? Why do you need to be a free man? What is it going to get you? But when you realize that you need to be free in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then indeed there is great value to independence and to freedom. And that is the deeper message here on this Rashi. We're taking the ear, we're taking the door. The door represents the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The ear represents an event that took place 50 days later at Har Sinai, and we're bringing the two together. Bring the two together is a reminder of what Hashem said to Moshe in the very beginning. Ta'avdun es Elokim yotziach ha'am in Mitzrayim, ta'avdun es Elokim alohor hazeh. The Yitzia of Mitzrayim is going to lead to the goal of Matan Torah. These two things must go together. And if there's any break between these two, then the whole purpose of Yitzia of Mitzrayim has been failed. And that is what we're trying to do over here with this Eved Ivri at the time when he wants to become a Nirtza.
What's the meaning in the Haggadah of the evil of Yanim and Swayim, Allah Nasa, Allah Nasa, Tara, Dayenu?
To be continued. I don't know. Okay, I don't. You threw me. Good question. I don't know. What's the meaning of Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai V'Loi Nosa Lanu Es HaTorah? Okay, so there are still benefits. It's not the ultimate benefit. I'm sure you look in the Farsh and you'll find the fact that we have the experience of seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's power, that alone was worth everything, even if it would not reach the ultimate goal. But the fact is, there is an ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that Hashem said this to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a pasuk in the Torah, and that is important in its own right. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I probably mentioned before. I want to look at it from a different angle. Part of the process of punishing the Eved Ivri for not wishing to go free after 6 years is taking him to the Beis Din, taking him to the door, and boring a hole from his ear through the door. What is the significance of using a door? The door, the delus. Even when you look at Rashi, and Rashi wants to focus on the mezuzos and the mashkoif, that doesn't really mention the door. That's not that took place in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Yitzias Mitzrayim, they put blood on the mashkoif and on the mezuzos, not on the delus. So why is there such an important emphasis in the pasuk where it says v'higishoy Adonav el ho Elohim, that the master will bring him to the Beis Din, v'higishoy el hadeles o el hamezuzah? And Rashi says it must be on the delus. When it says the mezuzah, it means eight seldom mezuzah, if I'm not mistaken. Rashi pasuk says yochol shatehei hamezuzah kishera liritzaya alecha tamla v'dasat be'ozna uvadeles bedeles v'loy b'mezuzah hamat hamlema oel hamezuzah hikishdeles l'mezuzah ma'mezuzah mu'umot avdeles mu'umot. In fact, you look in Rashi, so Rashi makes it very clear based upon Chazal is that the boring must be done specifically in the deles and not on the mezuzah. And the only reason why it says mezuzah is to teach us that the mezdeles must be erect, must be standing, and may not be lying on the floor, may not have been removed from its hinges. So the answer to the significance, I want to suggest the significance, is to be found in Parshas Vayera. And Parashas Vayera is the only time we find in the Torah the mention of a deles. And it's expressed there in a very prominent way. What's the mention of the deles? When the Malachim go to Sodom to save Lot, and Lot invites the Malachim into his home, the people of the city, they get wind that there are some new visitors here in Sodom, which are not allowed to, according to the rules of Sodom, beggars are not allowed. And they call Lot, what's going on over here? How dare you bring into the city people? So the Pasuk says here, let me find the Pasuk, Vayikru Elot, okay, Terem Yishkavu, before the guests, the Malachim, went to sleep, the Anshei Hu'ir, Anshei Sidom, the Sabu Alabayis, Minav Yad Zokein, Kol Omi Kotze, Vayikru Elot, Vayomu Lo, Ayyehu Anoshim Asher Bohai Lech Aloyla, Hotziyem Eilenu Vinei De'osam, Vayetze Aleyem Loit, HaPescha, Vehadeles, Sogar, Acharav. Lot took the deles and shut the door behind him. Why is it necessary for the Torah to mention this? Vayoymar, al noachaiter, don't hurt my friends. Hine no li shtevonos. Okay, he goes on to say, and then they respond, leave us alone, we don't want to hear any excuses. Vayoymar, gesh hola, move aside. Vayoymar, ho'echad balagur, vayishpoit shafot. Look at you, Lot, who are you? You were just a visitor in this community. You're an immigrant, and you become the judge. Vayishpoit shafoit. You become now the chief justice of Sodom. Ata now noral l'cha mehem. You're even worse than them. Vayivtziru v'ish belot me'od. Vayigshu again lishbar hadolas. These people came forward to break down the door. And then the Pesukim go on and tell us is that the Malachim came and smote them with Bisan Veirim to prevent them from going forward. What's going on? Why does the Torah have to emphasize the door? So I believe the answer is very simple. We all know that every profession, there is an object which is a symbol of your profession. If you are a scribe, so even the Gemara says on Shabbos, so the whole question, you're about to go walk out in the street with a quill. If you're a scribe, you advertise on your sleeve, I am a scribe. And the way you show is you put a quill in your lapel. If you are a tailor, you put a needle, a pin. If you're a barber, so you go around with your scissors, whatever. If you're a doctor, you wear your white coat. If you're a lawyer, then you wear those orange jumpsuits that they wear in prison. Just joking. There are no lawyers here, right?
Not really. You wear a halo.
Are there any lawyers here? Sorry about that. Okay, everyone, every profession, you have to show display.
Sorry, politicians wear a flag.
Oh, politicians.
Flag.
What do they wear?
A flag. A flag in the lapel.
I thought they would wear some type of, like a Pinocchio. Politicians should wear a Pinocchio nose. A Pinocchio nose. Right? For lying. For false promises. So the question is, what does a shofet, if you are a shofet, Lot was the judge. Lot is the judge. The Lot is described here as Vayishpitu Vayishpot Shafot. So the answer is the symbol of a judge is a door. Why a door? Vayiskar Hadeles Ba'adam. The role of a shofet is to protect the vulnerable. That's what a judge does. A judge, the role of a judge, what did Lot do? Vayetze Aleihem Lot. His people, the Malachim, were in danger. The people of the city wanted to attack them. He wanted to use them for an Avera. Vayetze aleim lot hapescha vehadeles sogar acharav. Protection. This is the role of a shofet. A shofet's role is to protect your people, and you go and you shelter them, you bring them into a shelter, and you close the door to protect your people. When the people of the city said, "How dare you? How dare you go and protect these people? We want to use these people for our purposes." So how do they demand, what is the expression that is used to describe their desire to remove Lot from his position as a shofet? Vayikshu lishpar hadolas, to destroy the door. The role of a shofet, a person that is a dayan, the role of a dayan is to protect the vulnerable, the weak and feeble, by sheltering them with his tool, with his profession of delas. Okay, so now we can go back and we can have a greater appreciation of the parsha of the parsha of the Nirtza. The Nirtza is served for 6 years. He's here for 6 years. It's time to go free. A Nirtza is a slave, is a vulnerable person. He's a weak person. It's not for nothing that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Okay, it was a war, civil war was fought. People felt that these people are weak and feeble. It's not proper to take advantage against the slave. The slave here is serving for 6 years. It's now time to go free, and the slave doesn't want to go free. I want to remain here permanently. The sin that this person has committed is so great. The opportunity to be free. To be free means you have an opportunity to serve Hashem with freedom. You're not a slave, can't do mitzvos freely like a free man can do. He's subject to serve his master. You want to be a slave to someone else and not be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the Torah says, I want the Elohim, I want the judges to use their tools, the same tool that they use to protect the innocent and the weak. I want them to make a statement and use exactly those same tools to punish this person for not doing what's required of him. They take him to the Dallas. In other words, people will go and they'll question, what's going on over here? How did the authorities, how could it be that the Beis Din allowed a person to be a slave more than 6 years? How did they allow such a person to, they didn't protect him, they didn't use their power, their position, the door, which is the symbol of their power of protection, to protect this person from the situation that he is in. Adarabba, the Torah says, let it be known that the person has committed such a horrible avera of saying, I don't care about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not interested in serving you, Hashem. I'd rather serve another fellow human being. The Beis Din B'dafka uses the tool that they use to protect, to punish him, and to say to him, we're not going to help you. We're not going to help a person that does not want to help himself. If you have an opportunity to go free, and you're going to come back to us later on crying, oh, how come I don't help you? We're not going to help you. We're not going to use our tools to assist and protect the people who do not want to be helped, but want to commit this avera of being sold as a slave, being made a slave. Okay, that's one approach. Another approach, you can say, something similar, but using the same idea, is that the Deles represented in the parasha of Lot, the object which Lot showed, which he used to show the people, the enemy, I'm not listening to you. The people came to Lot and they persuaded him. They used the koyach hadibur. Lot, bring out these people. Who are these malach? Who are these people that have come to visit you? Give us these people. Lot said, no way. I will not listen to what you want me to do. I will not listen. And the way he showed that he's not going to listen is he took the door and he smashed the door, he shut the door in front of these people to protect his people. When it comes to the Nirtza, what is the complaint that we have against the Nirtza? The complaint we have against the Nirtza is, why didn't you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You, the Nirtza, have refuse to listen. The symbol we use to remind him of his refusal to listen is the symbol that we have in the Torah of the refusal to listen. Lot wanted the people of the city of Sodom, they wanted these people to come out. Lot refused to listen. The way he showed his refusal to listen is with a door. Yiskar Hadeles, he closed the door behind them. This individual who refuses to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'loy avadim l'avadim, he's punished with the door, which is the symbol of refusing to listen. Okay, let's go to another idea. This week's Parsha Mishpatim, to some degree, is a repetition of Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, we learn all about Matan Torah. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the events of Matan Torah are repeated in detail once again. Okay, let me go turn to the Pasuk. After we go to all of the various Mishpatim, we come to what it says. Perek Chav Dalet. Perek Chav Dalet begins the El Moshe Omar Alei. Omar Alei El Hashem Ata V'Aro Nodav Avi. I want you to come up to the mountain. V'Shevim Mizikne Yisrael V'Hishtach Avisem Meirachayk. Rashi on this pasuk asks the question: when exactly was this parasha written? After we go through all of these mishpatim, and we're up to which aliyah is this? This aliyah is the middle of the seventh aliyah. We've gone through a long parasha describing in very great detail all of the different halachas. We come to the end of the Shvi, middle of Shvi. Go up to the Shemai, go up to the mountain. Parasha zo nemra koidem yud adibrais. Uvidalid besivon nemar lo alei. All of the events that I mentioned in Perek Chav Dalet, the end of the parasha, took place before Matan Torah. If it took place before Matan Torah, so what is it doing in Parashas Mishpatim? All of this, if we were writing the Torah, we would take all of the events. V'el Moshe Omar, Alei El Hashem, Atov Yaro Nodav Aviyu, V'shiv Mizikne Yisrael, V'shtach Nisim Erechayk, V'nigash Moshe Levado, and the whole story goes on with a lot of details. They brought sacrifices, they made a Mizbeach, they made 12 altars, they poured the blood on the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth. Why is not all of this information presented clearly in Parashas Yisro? So the answer is, there are two different dimensions. Now I saw this idea discussed at great length in a sefer written by Rabbi Yochanan Zweig. Rabbi Yochanan Zweig is from the very, very big, he lives in Miami, he has a yeshiva in Miami, he's from the biggest Balei Machshava alive today. He's a very, very big darshan, a very big Baal Machshava, and only very recently did he begin to publish Sfarim. He put out two volumes, one of Chumash Bereishis and one of Chumash Shemos. They're not short verilach, his essays are long ma'arachos, and he goes into a lot of detail, and he has a discussion over here, and basically the gist of what he presents in Parash Mishpatim, at least in his first essay, is there are two completely different dimensions to Matan Torah. There's a dimension of Matan Torah that's presented in Parashas Yisro, and there's a dimension of Matan Torah presented in Parashas Mishpatim. Now, his development, I want to use what he says for another purpose, but his development basically is in Parashas Yisro, the sense you get is fear. There's a tremendous degree of dread. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Alidagari Manu Lekim Penamos. We don't want this anymore. We can't tolerate HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us. You, Moshe, you speak to us. We're terrified. The people ran away. They ran back to their tents. The Malachim had to come and bring them back to the Machanos. They were in intense degree of pachat. In Parashas Mishpatim, you don't get a sense of being there being pachat. Parashas Mishpatim, the psukim are, we're going back, what?
They sit down and eat.
Vayochlu vayishtu. They eat and they drink. They look at Shemayim. They have no problem looking, no problem seeing, eating and drinking, bringing korbanos, they bring a mizbeach. It's a whole different show. What do we do? Is this the same Matan Torah? What's going on over here? So he goes on to show there are tzvei dinim in Matan Torah. There's a din Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro. It's a Matan Torah midin. pachad, the ema, the yira. And then there's a din matan Torah in Parashas Mishpatim, which is a matan Torah mitoch simcha. In fact, perhaps too much simcha, too much lightheadedness. How could they both be true? Yes, that is the nature of the Torah. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Mitzad echad, there was a tremendous simcha in coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzad sheni, the gilu b'da'odah, there was a great degree of terror. He goes on a lot further. He has a very long development. He goes further. He wants to go say is that in Parshas Yisro, it was a matan Torah midin to be followers, to follow Hashem's commandments. In Parshas Yisro, in Parshas Mishpatim, it was a different perspective to be a partner with HaKadosh Baruch. Hashem said, I'm offering you stock. Torah lav b'ashamayim. And he has many diyukim, there are tzvei dinim in Matan Torah. There's a din that you are a follower, you are a servant, just follow orders. You're not the boss here. Don't tell Hashem what to do. Torah, you're not, it's not your Torah. You just are here to be observant of the Torah. And then there is a degree in Kabbalah Satorah where Hashem said, I relinquish my control of the Torah to man, to Klal Yisrael, be my partner in Torah. When you're a partner, you do it mitoch simcha. You have a mizbeach. You take the blood. You split the blood. Half the blood for the mizbeach. Half the blood goes on our bodies or for us. It's a whole different dimension. That's really the gist of his idea. There's a Kabbalah Satar mitoch yira, mitoch simcha. The mitoch yira is a Kabbalah that we are servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kabbalah Satar midin simcha of Parshas Mishpatim is the din that we are shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can go and analyze this and discuss the great learn. That's what he does. That's not the point I want to make over here now, but I want to borrow from this very profound idea that he presents in his Sefer. Now, I just came across, there's another Sefer, I haven't looked at him in a long time, Rabbi Pinchas Lifshitz. He is the editor of the Ated, the newspaper, and he writes quite a bit. He writes every week, he has an editorial, his stuff is published online. So a few years ago, he put out a Sefer. It's called Pinine Chayin. Pinine, something with the word Chayin. It's in Hebrew. It's in Hebrew. He basically took a lot of his essays and he translated it into Hebrew and he put out on the parasha, his Rayonos in the parasha. So I was browsing through and he says there an idea which triggered a machshava. That's not what he's saying, it's not what it says there, but the trigger what I saw, what I read there triggered the machshava, which I think fits very well into what Rabbi Zweig says. And he says, what does it mean here in the parasha? Kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'nishma. At the end of the parasha, after the second din of Kabbalah Satara, right? The tzvei din of Kabbalah Satara, according to Rabbi Zweig, parasha Yisro, parasha Mishpatim, and then at the end it says, "Vayikach Moshe Sadom vayizroik al ha'om vayoymer hinei davar bris asher kodesh Hashem imochem al kodesh mo'ileh vayal Moshe levaron levaviu." Okay, well, I think I went too far. Okay, the pasuk of Nas Sevenishma. Pasuk Zayin. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikach Biyos Ne'om, Vayomru, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem, Nas Sevenishma. What's Nas Sevenishma all about? What's this koyach of Nas Sevenishma? So we know the Malachim, that we're willing to do the mitzvahs before we understand the deeper meaning of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Lifshitz, he says, Nishma alludes to Parshas Yisro. Vayishma Yisro heard Eis Asher Hashem Lishalu Eis Asher. What has the pasuk of Yishba Yisro? Eis Asher Osa Hashem. When Hashem Chayse Moshe Eis Kol Asher Osa Elokim LeMoshe Ulishol Amo Ki Yitzi Hashem Eishol Mitzrayim. That's all he says. That's all. Now, based upon that foundation, I want to suggest is. There are two, Rabbi Zweig has told us, there are two dinim in Matan Torah. Parshas Yisro, Parshas Mishpatim. Both of these parshios have a very significant introduction. The introduction of Kabbalah Satorah from Parshas Yisro is the story of Yisro. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro comes, and he, I heard what happened. Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchemes Amalek. Amazing. Maybe I should also join Klal Yisrael. He comes. And then we have Kabbalah Satara. Parashas Mishpatim at the end Shvi, we learn about the second din of Kabbalah Satoras, or his wife says, partnership, simcha, whatever it is, but there's a very big hakdama. And what is the hakdama? The hakdama is the Eile Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. And we have six aliyahs of very specific halachas, very specific laws that must be followed by Klal Yisrael. And then we're now ready for the parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. What's the chilik between Parshas Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim? Parshas Yisro is a Kabbalah of the Torah midin Nishma. Vayishma Yisro. Only explain in a moment. The Kabbalah of Parshas Mishpatim is a Kabbalah of the Hagdama to Torah midin Naseh. What is Mishpat? Mishpat is in the library. Justice. Justice by definition means pick yourself up and do something. This is what has to be the Eilech HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lefneihem. All of the mitzvahs here are very practical, active mitzvahs that have to be done. Before you mekabel the Torah, the second din in the Torah, there's an introduction. And the introduction is, are you committed? Are you committed to the Torah midin naseh? Naseh is a one-word summary of, are you committed to what it says? Ve'eleh ha'mishpatim asher tosim lefneihem. Let me give you a sample. Right, you go into the store, before you buy the kugel, you want to sample the kugel. Let me give you a sample. Ve'eleh ha'mishpatim is the sample of what is involved midin naseh. When did Yisrael come to Klal Yisrael? It's because did he come to Klal Yisrael because I want to join, I want to be part? It's very clear, it was only a reaction. It was only a reaction in many ways. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Impressive. Rebbeinu Shlomo, he pulled pretty good. Hashem is a powerful, powerful being. I heard about Mochemes Amolek. The Jewish people, they have the best military in the world. Do I really want to be part of Klal Yisrael? I don't know. Do I want to do the mitzvahs? By default or by process of elimination, this is the good place to be. This is where it's safe. Eretz Yisrael, they have the nukes. They can pull it off. They have the most advanced military in the world. Eretz Hashem represents Klal Yisrael. He can split the Yam Suf. What else did Yisrael say? Ato yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. I've experimented with everything. I've experimented with every religion that the world has to offer, and I recognize it's all shekel. The only thing that really is true is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything about Yisrael is one word. It all comes down to, I'm going to join Klal Yisrael because it's by process of elimination. By process of elimination, or by in recognition of what I've seen, what I've heard. What I've seen and heard, the whole essence of Yisro is Vayishma Yisro. Yisro is analyzing the whole world. He sees what it's all about. It's kedai to join Klal Yisro. He's not joining Klal Yisro because Ve'eleh HaMishpatim. There's another reason why to join Klal Yisro. Let's say Klal Yisro is extremely weak. They're vulnerable. They don't have a military. Hashem is not going to do for Klal Yisrael any miracles. They're going to be the underdog for the entire existence of history. But it's kedai to be part of Klal Yisrael because ve'eleh ha'mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. The laws of the Torah are so beautiful, are so just, are emes. It's kedai to be part of Klal Yisrael regardless of anything else. Even if everything else was not true. Even if there are magicians that can split the Yam Suf. Even if there are nations that are more powerful than Klal Yisrael. So what? Klal Yisrael has Naseh. They have the Eileh HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. This is what is Kedai. This is what is Kedai to be part of Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael is also Kedai to be part of Klal Yisrael. Is that, listen, Vayishma Yisrael. Akriyas Yamsa Mechel Masa Molek. Yisrael, he listened to all of the other gods. He realized they're all nonsense. So it's Kedai. So when you come to Kabbalah Satorah, you can come with two introductions. There are two different reasons that can inspire you to be Mekabel the Torah. There's the Parashas Mishpatim, and there's Parashas Yisrael. And Parashas Yisrael, you can come to be join Klal Yisrael Midin Nishma. Kol Asher Diba Hashem Nishma. Midin Nishma. Or you can join Klal Yisrael Midin Naseh, as Klal Yisrael indeed also said Naseh. The passage before it says, Vayishlach Esnar Shachar, it says right before, it says here also in the right a few psukim before, Vayavay Moshe Vayisaper La'am Eiskol Divrei Hashem Vayiskol HaMishpotim, the Mishpotim Mamish Vayan Kol La'am Kol Echad Vayamu Kol HaDivrei Masha Dibra Hashem Nase. In this week's parish, Paris Mishpotim Nase. You can join Klal Yisrael Midin Nase. They're both legitimate reasons why to join Klal Yisrael, and when the day is over, they're both true. And when everything is said, when everything is said and done, both reasons are legitimate reasons why a person should be part of Klal Yisrael. You can look at joining Klal Yisrael from the perspective of Yisro, Vayishma, or you can join Klal Yisrael midin ve'elaham mishpat. So we're doing over here is we're taking the word naseh v'nishma, and we're not translating it literally. I'm going to listen to the mitzvot and understand them, and then I'm going to do the mitzvot. No, nishma is a code for the whole the approach to Klal Yisrael. We're putting ourselves in the frame of mind of Yisrael, his approach, which Yisrael is described by Yishma Yisrael. Nase is putting ourselves in the shoes of Klal Yisrael in Parashas Mishpatim ve'ele ha-Mishpatim. They're both legitimate. Which one is the Iker and which one is the Tafel? So if you would ask the average person, they would say, I would say Nishma v'Nase. You first experiment a little bit and you recognize Hashem's might and power. It's Kedai to join Klal Yisrael. And then it looks like Shidduchim. Shidduchim is, you have to get married. If you don't like the person now, it's okay, you'll come to like the person. You'll grow, later in life, you'll get to like the person. Right now, you just jump in. It's first Nishma. You look at the situation. This is the least of the evils. It's the least of the evils to do, to marry this person. And then, over time, Nase, you'll come to appreciate what you have. Isn't that logical? That's what all the marriage counselors tell you. That's logical. The Maila of Klal Yisrael is Kol Asher after they were Makabel Midin Yisrael VeYishma Dem Midin Nase Klal Yisrael So Kol Asher Dibre Hashem Nase VeNishma B'Shoshe Dimu Yisrael Nase LeNishma B'Shisha Riboy Malachi Hashoris and gave everyone in Klal Yisrael 2 crowns Nase VeNishma. The incredible shvach that Klal Yisrael was able to say by us, the Iker is the Eile HaMishpatim. The Kabbalah Satorah that comes with the Hagdamah of the Eile HaMishpatim is more choviv than the Hagdamah to Kabbalah Satorah that comes from Vayishma Yisrael. This week's parasha is more choviv than last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, we read the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it was a Kabbalah Satorah. It was a weak Kabbalah Satorah. It was a Kabbalah Satorah midin Vayishma Yisrael. Nishma. This week's Kabbalah Satorah is a Kabbalah Satorah midin Nase. And when you put the two together, when you ask the question, which is the Iker, Klal Yisrael got it right. Nase v'nishma, they appreciate it. It's irrelevant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're powerful and you're mighty and you can split the yam and you can wipe out Amalek and you can give us the mon and you can do miracles and you can and all the other gods are all nonsense. It's all irrelevant. What's relevant is we want to be your nation. The Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneim, the Kabbalah, the appreciation of the value of what Torah is. The Naseh of Mishpatim comes before the Nishma of Parshas Yisrael. Okay. What else did I want to tell you? Okay, there's a very good var from the Das Zakenim. This is a really powerful var from the Das Zakenim. I once heard from a rabbi, as a hakdamah to this fart, rabbi in rabbinic training, he told us that, unfortunately, the profession of a rabbanis, you're only as good as your last drasha. If you have a season, if the rabbi has a season where he gives these outstanding knockout sermons, 1 week after another, he knocks them off, he wows his tzibur, and they're in love with him. And then his contract is up for renewal, and the Shabbos before the board and the membership vote on renewing his contract, he gives a drasha and he strikes out. He strikes out. just did not hit a chord with his balabatim. It just, or they disagreed. Maybe that's the worst thing. He says his day on something in the community and he's not preaching to the choir. They don't like what he said. And that next Tuesday, everyone in the shul comes together to vote on the rabbi's renewal. The rabbi is in a lot of trouble. Why? Unfortunately, it's human nature. What about all the other Shabbosites that were brilliant, knockout, inspiring Joshes? Unfortunately, it's human nature. You forget very quickly the good. And you focus, especially when on the bed, especially when the bed is right in front of you. So the Daz Zekeinim, he says that idea over here in the pasuk in the parasha, which I think we can embellish a little bit. The Anshei Kodesh Tihiyu Li, it says in the pasuk, you shall be holy people. Ubasar basad treifa loy sechelu lakelev tashlichun osa. Okay, I quoted this by heart. Let me see what I can find in the pasuk. Beginning of the parasha, right before Perek, I think it's right before Perek. Pasuk Lamed. Which Perek? Perek Lamed. Chavez. Chav Beis Lamed. Okay. The Anshei Kodesh Tiyulinu Basar Basar Trefaloy Sachil Akelev Hashlich Basar. So listen to this incredible word. So I know that Rabbi Heshi Wolf told me this part last night. He's one of the Magidish here in Torah Vadas. So he told me, he says in the Vanshei Kodesh, you live from the Zas Zekeinim, who is the one, what is the role of a dog? The average shepherd, what does he, an average shepherd has dogs. What is the purpose of the dog of a shepherd? To scare away the wolves. To scare away any predator. A shepherd has sheep. The sheep are weak, vulnerable creatures. And they need a lot of protection. And you have a pack of dogs, which are there to protect. So what happened in this case? We have over here a sheep, and the sheep is dead. The sheep has been attacked. It's a trefa. Uvasar basadet trefa. Your sheep has been ripped to shreds by a wolf. Who's to blame?
The dog.
The dog did not do its job. The dog was here, the dog, the average dog in the Torah, the average dog that's in connection with the bus, what's going on here? The pasuk, the background to this pasuk. You have a shepherd, he has sheep, he has a dog that are there to protect the security force for the sheep, and they failed to do their job. A wolf got in, devoured a sheep, it's lying dead in the field, and what does the Torah tell? It tells the shepherd, take that dead animal and give it as a reward to the dog. The dog is a failure. The dog has failed you. He has failed to protect the sheep, and you're going to reward the dog for his negligence? How you talking? That's what the Torah is telling you to do? So the Das Kainim says, yeah, that's right. He made a mistake today. But for the last 364 days of the year, he did an excellent job. Don't forget the good. Don't forget the good. Don't judge him, exactly. Don't go judge.
If he kills the speech, don't judge him.
Don't. And this is all packaged. All the commentators, they struggle. Why do we need this hakdama of the Anshei Kodesh Tihiyun Lin? What's the Kodesh here? I mean, we have over here in this parasha.
So
I don't know. What do we need? What do we need? The Anshei Kodesh. Teretz says over here, the Torah is telling you, is teaching you a midah. It's not just teaching you over here halacha. It's teaching you a holy outlook on life. In life, there's always what to complain about. Ein adam tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata. It does not exist. There's no such thing as perfection. It's always going to be something to pick at. But the Anshei Kodesh Tihinuli, don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. Let me give you an example that should serve for you as a marshal. If you have sheep, and one, you have a dog that's there to protect the sheep, and the day comes when the dog falls asleep, and the sheep has been attacked by the wolf, and it's lying in the field, and it's dead, give that sheep as a reward to the dog. Because remember, even though today it failed you, where would you have been without these dogs for the last entire year? And we will take that meat and you will internalize it. You will be Anshei Kodesh. When this meat over overflows to everything you do in your life. It changes your whole perspective. You'll become my nation. Don't be from the people that are just looking to complain and complain and complain. Okay. Rashi says that. Rashi says that Hashem does not deny reward to any one of His creatures because they were quiet, like that's what Rashi says. But this is the Das Kanim. The Das Kanim says this idea. The Tosfos Das Kanim, and we're embellishing it with by taking note of the words the Anshei Kodesh. It's not just a halacha. It is a frame of mind which creates a whole different outlook on life, which is necessary to be a nation of holy people. Okay, here's a little bit of a drush for people in Kailach. This is a Kailal drush. It's not my var. I saw this somewhere. I don't remember where I saw this. I saw this yesterday, just running through something. And it's really based on the Gemara. The Gemara asked the question in the beginning of the parasha. We learn about a person who is a mazik. A mazik, he hurts someone else. Here it is. V'chi yirivuna noshim. If two men quarrel, v'hi ko ish esrei eyu be'evin oy ve'egreif. And one man takes out a stone, throws it at his friend, who takes out his fist and hurts his friend, v'lo yamos, and does not die. V'nofal l'mishkof. And he falls on his bed. So the question is this person going to be chayiv? What is the halacha? The pasuk goes on to say, "Im yokum v'salach b'chutz al mishantoy v'nika hamakeh." So we learn from this pasuk that you have to go through the mafarshim, Rashi, the mafarshim, the chayiv on nezek, tsar, sheves, ripui, boishes. The Gemara of Avakama, I think it's the Gemara of Avakama. What about bittul Torah? If two people are fighting with each other, and one person punches his friend, and his friend is hospitalized for 2 weeks, how are you going to make up to your friend the 2 weeks that he was bottled from Talmud Torah? How are you going to make up? You can make up the value. You can pay him for the loss of his labor, what he could have accomplished. But the loss of Talmud Torah, that
is immeasurable.
It's immeasurable. How are you going? How are you going to make it up?
How
he can learn. So he's chayev shemayim. So this person, indeed, so this fellow, the mazik, he is going to be has to worry that his neshama is in very big trouble in the next world because he has done something which basically there's nothing you can do to repair. So the Torah says not so fast. It says this is the drush. The pasuk says im yakum. Let's see what this person does when he gets better. Im yakum, if after the person recovers, v'hisalech b'chutz, he doesn't go back to the Beis Medrash. He doesn't go b'fnim. Ah, I recovered. Now it's time to go on vacation, to go to California, to go to Europe. V'salech b'chutz al meshantay on his staff, v'niko hamakeh. You're innocent. It's a giloy milsa that the person, he anyway would not have been sitting and learning. If the person now, until now, he's working hard. So we all have this idea that when a person is working very hard, he gets sechar for Talmud Torah. Because since if I had a vacation day, I would be sitting in Beis Medrash, so I'm an onus. So even when I'm working, I get credit for Talmud Torah. The Mefarshim saying this. If you have to work, you have no choice. You have to work 24/7. You have a minute to learn. But if you're telling the Ribbono Shleilim, if only you give me a little vacation, I will sit and learn, then you're getting schar. But if this person shows that now, when he gets better, he gets up on his walking stick, and he's v'halech b'chutz, which has the connotation that he has no interest in going back into the Beis Medrash, that is a gilui milsa. Even if he was healthy, he would not have been spending his time learning in the Beis Medrash, and therefore you have not denied him any loss of Talmud Torah, because anyway, he has revealed that he would not be learning anyway. And that instance, v'niko hamakeh, the makeh is innocent. What is the Musar Haskel? It's a very frightening Musar Haskel. The Musar Haskel is that every single person that comes a point in time when he is free. at points in time in his life, he's tied down. He has obligations, whatever they are. And then it comes a time when there is a nisoyon. Should I now be in a matzav of the hisalech bachutz, or should I be a person that is yoyshev bifnim? And if the person makes the decision to be of the hisalech bachutz, it's a frightening revelation. It's a revelation that l'chatchila, all the entire period of time when he was occupied with other obligations, it was not because he didn't. It wasn't because he had obligations. He would anyway not have been occupied in the holy matters. And not everyone is cut out to sit and learn the whole day. Obviously, it means to do things that are valuable in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each in his own way. But if a person, when he is released from his other obligations in life, and he fails to be a person that's yoshev b'fnim, but instead chooses to be one that is misalich machutz, then he's in trouble. Then the nikah hamakeh is reversed. Then he's guilty to himself because he's denying himself the reward that he could have had received during the time that he was busy doing other things. Okay, just to conclude this parasha, I just want to really recognize just two hours to recognize the chavivus of parashas mishpatim. We say in davening every day. We say in all the brachos, we conclude every bracha of tefillah, Baruch Atah Hashem. We don't mention the content of malchus. The only bracha that we mention the place of malchus is Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. The only one of the brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei where Hashem's name is described as a Melech is when it comes to Mishpat. Tzedakah U'Mishpat. There we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. Melech represents Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. Only once a year on Rosh Hashanah we blow the shofar to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. And in fact, during the Aseret Yom Yitzchak we change the nusach of this bracha from Melech Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat to HaMelech HaMishpat. It shows the significance. Therefore, a parsha that is devoted to Mishpatim, Ve'ele HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem, it's like the Shemoneh Esrei. You can see that every single bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, every parsha, the 54 parshas in the Torah, are like a different bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. From all of the brachas, the one that has Chavivus is the bracha of Mishpat. Melech, and because that bracha is the only one where we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. And not only that, Melech Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. So therefore, we should recognize that from the 54 parashios, the only one that's called Mishpat is Parashas Mishpatim. There's a unique Chavivos to Parashas Mishpatim. It's called all the different, many mitzvahs, each mitzvah, so these mitzvahs have been handpicked. The mitzvahs mentioned over here of the Inyanim of obligations, financial obligations, in Yoni Chesha Mishpat, which unfortunately in this generation is something which requires chizuk. In Yoni Chesha Mishpat, it's a chavivus of Melech Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Have a wonderful Shabbos.